The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
We live in a world of almost total religious confusion. Over 400 sects and denominations all call themselves Christian. Do you know what a genuine Christian ought to be like? Would you recognize a true Christian, my friends, if you met one? What are some of the identifying signs of a genuine Christian? In this time, just before the Great Tribulation and the second coming of Christ, you need to know. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asked, what is a genuine Christian? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
If the true Jesus Christ were to walk this earth again in the human flesh, what would he be like? Would he go to church every Sunday? Would he observe Christmas and Easter? Would he have long, flowing hair? What would he really be like? Go get your Bible. Check up on me and on the other guys, too. Don't assume that you know the answers to the above questions unless you can prove it from the Bible. Far too many ministers and professing Christians have used their own human reasoning and imaginations, and they have assumed that they understood what biblical Christianity is all about. But millions have been deceived. They really have. Millions have been confused by a very real Satan the devil. Notice what your Bible says. Go get your Bible. Check up on me. Don't believe me. You believe what you read in the pages of your own Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. God inspired the Apostle John to write here, so the great red dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Satan deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Yes, there is a deceiver on this earth, and he deceives the whole world, my friends. He really does. We need to grasp that fact. We're in this world, and Satan has deceived this world. And God's own word tells us that very, very clearly. Turn to 2 Corinthians now, if you would, in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're checking up on me. 2 Corinthians 4, and beginning in verse 3. God inspired these words from the Apostle Paul. But even if our gospel be veiled, Paul wrote, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world, the God of this present age, is Satan the devil. He's the God that most people worship, realizing it or not. He is the one in charge of this earth, its society, its religions, its educational systems. We need to grasp that fact. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, notice what the Apostle Paul wrote here. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. I fear, Paul wrote, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes... Other ministers, other teachers, if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. A different Jesus, a different gospel. Satan the devil has spawned belief in another Jesus. He has spawned belief in a different gospel, a gospel different from the message of Jesus Christ. We need to grasp that fact fully, really grasp that fact. There are thousands of churches and cathedrals all over this world where they claim to worship Jesus Christ. They often have imposing structures. They look good. They have excellent choirs, often beautiful music, many activities connected with their churches. But do they worship the true Jesus Christ of the Bible? That's what we need to think about. Notice what your Bible says. Turn with me to Matthew. Here are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7 and verse 21. I'm going to be reading Christ's own statements here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. It's he who does the will of God, not he who says, Lord, Lord. Lots of people say, oh, I just believe in the Lord, and how good it is to know the Lord this morning. And they get up and have all kinds of religious talk and sound very sanctimonious. But God says, through Jesus Christ, he who does the will of my Father in heaven, he's the one who's going to be in God's kingdom. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name or preached in your name, cast out demons in your name? And they often claim to cast out the demons of ignorance, the demons of superstition, the demons of despair, and all this kind of thing. Not real demons, but they call those things demons, so that they generally don't have the power to cast out real demons. So they say they've done these things and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, Jesus will say. I never at any time knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He's not talking about the traffic laws. I don't think they had very many traffic laws back in Jesus' day, do you? They didn't have any cars. He's talking about God's law. I think we all understand that. You who practice lawlessness. They talk about the Lord. They say, Lord, Lord. They talk about Christ, but they don't keep God's law. Jesus also said in Luke 6:46. Notice there, if you want to follow me, check up on me. Luke 6 and verse 46. This is what the Son of God said. But why do you call me Lord? Why do you ministers and meet people out there, he says, call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus is not your Lord unless you obey him. Lord means boss. Lord means master. You're to obey your Lord. Yes, you should worship him. You should have sentiment about him in the right way. That's fine. But you're also to learn to do what he says. That's where they fall down. In John chapter 1, and beginning here in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My friends, way back from eternity, way back before the creation of man, perhaps billions of years ago, there were two beings. One was called God. And certainly we call him today God the Father, as he's come to be revealed as the Father by Christ. Then there was the Word, the revelatory principle, the spokesman for God. He was called the Word, Logos, in the Greek language. In the beginning was this spokesman, and he was with God, and this spokesman was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. All things were made through Jesus Christ. And nothing was made without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was that light. He was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We need to realize the importance of that. Christ is the perfect example. He is the light that God sent into the world. We must follow that light. We must follow Christ's example in everything we think and say and do to the best of our ability. He was the light that God sent into the world. Please understand that. What should a true Christian be like? Well, he should keep the days that Jesus kept. He should keep the annual holy days that Jesus kept. He should walk with Christ, talk with Christ, imitate Christ, do everything that Christ did in every way he can. Back in Galatians, let's turn to the book of Galatians now, chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul was inspired to write, I'm crucified with Christ. All of us have to put the old self to death if we're ever going to be real converted. I'm crucified with Christ. Yet, nevertheless, I live, Paul wrote, yet not I, not the old self, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the point, my friends. Christ lives in me, Paul wrote. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're to live by the very faith of Jesus Christ. We're to have him living in us through the Holy Spirit. That's the key. We're to have Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. An empty faith, a dead faith, just in the person of Christ is not enough. You have to have Christ living in you to be a genuine Christian. You really do. At this point, I urge you to call or write for our powerful, brand-new booklet entitled, Should You Be Baptized? This booklet will open your eyes to vital aspects of true Christianity you have never understood before. Yet this attractive booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. There is no obligation. No one will call on you. You need this vital booklet. So call or write today for your free copy of our brand new booklet entitled, Should You Be Baptized? Even the phone call is free.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
Now back to our topic. Galatians 2:20, remember we were discussing just before the break, and I want to comment on that again. That's one of the most powerful scriptures in the entire New Testament about the meaning of real Christianity, when you understand it. It really is. The Apostle Paul wrote, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not just our faith in the Son of God. Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We have to have Christ living his life in us. That's the only thing that helps us to be a Christian. We cannot be a proper Christian of and by ourselves. Lots of people say there's a lot of good in human nature. Well, I won't go into that very much, but God says the heart of man is deceitful, wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I think we understand the history of war, rape, robbery, things like that going on today all over the world. We need the help of Jesus Christ living his life within us. Then we can become true Christians. God says in Hebrews 13, verse 8, again, check up on me, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ has not changed, but what was the true Christ actually like? What did he teach that was different from mainstream Christianity today? Do you know? Most people just grow up and go to churches of this world. I did. I just went along with mainstream Christianity. I was president of my Sunday school class, and I was a leader in that sense among the other fellows in many of those ways, but I didn't understand anything, and certainly they didn't either. We just did not get it. God had not opened our minds yet. He had not called us, and he may be calling many of you to understanding. Listen to what Jesus Christ said. Listen to what the Son of God said about true Christianity. Turn again to Matthew, if you would, this time to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Notice here the teachings of Jesus Christ. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Fulfill doesn't mean to do away with. Fulfill means to do, to fulfill to the full. Whoever therefore breaks, notice this verse, verse 19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, even the least of the commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So, my friends, we've got to keep even the smaller part of God's law. Whatever one of the commandments you think is least, you've got to keep that. Keeping the commandments was the way of life that Jesus Christ taught. It was the way of life of Peter and James and John. But modern Christianity tells us just believe on the Lord, just give your heart to the Lord, just accept Christ's blood. Well, Christ's blood is a wonderful thing, and we're very grateful to have our past sins forgiven. But once those sins are forgiven, can we keep right on sinning? We cannot. No way. We've got to turn. God tells us in the Bible, back in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, check up on me if you wish to. I'm going to give you this from memory, Acts 2, verse 38. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent. That's the first thing Jesus said to do. Turn around and go the other way. Repent of what? Repent of sin. What is sin? 1 John 3:4 tells us sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is breaking God's holy, sacred law, the Ten Commandments. You repent of breaking the Ten Commandments. And then what do? Well, obviously, if you repent, if you turn around and go the other way, that means you start keeping the Ten Commandments, doesn't it, my friends? So you have to repent and be baptized in order to receive God's Holy Spirit. Are you willing to do that? Think about it. Think about it. Somewhere along the line, you need to act on the things you're hearing on this program. Somewhere along the line, you'd better be responsible to be a genuine Christian, not just a Sunday-going Christian who goes to church once in a while, but a real Christian who has God living in him, who has Christ living in him through the Holy Spirit. Turn out of the book of James. I'm going to turn out of the book of James in your New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 22. Here James says the same thing I've been saying, but be doers of the word. Doer, don't just talk about it, do it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, if someone just listens but they don't do anything about it, they don't act on the truth, what good is that? He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and he goes on and forgets what manner of man he is. Chapter 2 and verse 8, the book of James, chapter 2. If you really fulfill the royal law, James says, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you shall do well. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The only way we can begin to do that is through the help of God's Holy Spirit within us, Christ living in us. Christ lives in me, the Apostle Paul said. That's the whole point. But he says, if you show partiality, James continues, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. The law? The law has points. Ten commandments. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, what law is he talking about? For he who said, do not commit adultery, what law does that come from? Well, I think we all know that, don't we? That's one of the points of the Ten Commandments. That's the seventh commandment, the commandment against adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So if you, he says, do not commit adultery, the one who said do not commit adultery also said do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery but you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. You see, you've broken one of the points of what? Of the Ten Commandments. There it is in the writings of Jesus Christ's physical brother, later converted, the Apostle James. You've got to keep the Ten Commandments. For whoever shall keep the whole law, let me repeat, and yet stumble in one point, if you break one point of the law, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not murder. So he explains what that law is. So speak and so do, verse 12, as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty, you say, keeping all that law? Now, is that such a real problem, though, when you think about it, my friends? How difficult is it not to be a murderer for most of you? I don't think most of you have ever murdered anyone. I certainly haven't. I don't have to fight myself to keep from murdering. No, it's not that difficult if you really try and if you understand, and certainly then if you have God's Holy Spirit to keep the letter of the law. But above and beyond that, of course, with God's help, with Christ in us, we've got to try to keep the spirit of the law, to have the kindness, the love, the warmth, the spirit of service that Jesus Christ did. And God, of course, gives us that way. He gives us that strength through the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way we're ever going to get it. So we have to understand that principle. Back in 1 John 5, 1 John 5, if you would turn there, God tells us this. Of course, after baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. And God tells us back in Romans 5, verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. What is that love of God which is shed in our hearts through the Holy Spirit? It says here in 1 John and chapter 5 and verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. So we've got to love God and keep His commandments, you see. That's what God tells us here. For this is the love of God. What is God's love? the commandment keeping is the way of life. Keeping God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, or the riverbed, the channel down through which God's Spirit flows. That is the way of life. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Think about it, my friends. That was Christ's teaching. That was Christ's example all the way through. Here's the Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, where he's called in the Bible. The Apostle of Love, he tells us that if we're going to have the love of God, we've got to keep God's commandments. What about those commandments? What do they involve? First, God tells us we're not to have any other God before the true God. We're not to worship pictures and idols representing God. We're not to make idols and pictures, and we're not to worship other things, of course, even things we've made of our own hands. Our television, our houses, our cars, the things we tend to worship. We're to worship the one invisible God, the Creator of all, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, and have no other gods before that God. Secondly, of course, we're not to have any direct idols, any type of idol we put in place of God. Thirdly, we're not to dishonor God's name. We're to hallow His name, and everything we do and understand His name represents Him. We're not to take His name carelessly and talk about God this and God that when we don't even know what we're talking about or care what we're talking about. We're to honor God's name. Fourthly, we're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Frankly, on this earth, Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath that all the other people were keeping at that time in His land. He kept the seventh-day Sabbath. That's one of the Ten Commandments. He tells us to do the same thing. So we're to do that. We're to have God and Christ living their lives within us through the Holy Spirit. And so we'll be keeping the days that Jesus kept. We're to honor Him in that way. Remember the Sabbath day. That's the one day people want to forget. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, God tells us. Sixthly, thou shalt not kill. And of course, we are not to kill under any circumstances. But above and beyond that, God tells us about the spirit of murder. Do you ever have the spirit of murder? Many of us do. If you watch television, you see bang, bang, shoot, strangle, stab, destroy, all the way through. You watch one 30-minute program on television, you may see dozens of people killed, blown up, stabbed, decapitated, simply blown apart. All this kind of thing over and over. And our young people are seeing that. What does it do to their minds? Think about it. What does it do to their minds? They're seeing murder. Murder is being made light of today in our society. And it's not right. You shall not murder, and you're not to have the spirit of murder and even think about murder in your heart. Jesus shows that in principle in the next commandment, the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus Christ said, and let's turn back and I'll read this directly. I know you understand all these other principles, or I assume that many of you do, but back in Matthew chapter 5 here, notice what Jesus Christ said when He was expanding or magnifying the commandment about adultery. The Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And yet so much of Madison Avenue advertising is based on that. They sell everything from safety pins to motorboats with semi-clad women, naked women, and all this kind of thing. Is that God's way? Of course it isn't. That cheapens women. That cheapens the human body. That cheapens the whole aspect of sex. That cheapens the relationship between a man and a woman. It really does. But that's our society. That's the way people make more money, stirring this attitude of adultery. The women are just sex objects and this kind of thing. You shall not look on a woman to lust after her, Jesus said. The eighth commandment, of course, is you shall not steal. And again, we have theft all through our society. And many people just steal from the company, steal from others, steal from the government by cheating on their income tax and think they can get away with it or it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. Stand for something. Build that kind of integrity. That's what God wants. And of course, the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't twist things all around. Keep your word. That's what God tells us to do. That's so important to God. And number 10, the 10th commandment of the great God, you shall not covet. And our whole society is, again, based upon making people think they need to get more, more, more. Buy something you don't need with money you don't have. Use a credit card. You know, buy now and pay later. All the rest of this appealing to get more and more and more, whether you need it or not, whether it serves any good purpose. Our society is exactly against the Ten Commandments when you think about it. Many of us have many things to repent of. I have had. All of us have to do that. Only through Jesus Christ living within us can we become a true Christian. You need to understand. You need the Holy Spirit and the power of the living Christ living His life within you. So call or write immediately for our powerful, brand new booklet. It's a wonderful booklet that will help you. Something about Christianity that you've never read before. What is that? Should you be baptized? That's the title of that new booklet. Should you be baptized? It will not only explain baptism, it will thoroughly explain to you how to become a genuine Christian. This booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call or write now and ask for your free copy of our powerful booklet on Should You Be Baptized.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579.
And tune in to the Tomorrow's World program each week at this same time. Richard Ames and I will open your eyes to the end time prophecies, to the real meaning of life, and we'll describe to you what you should do. You need to know how to follow through in these terrible times in which we're living, my friends. You need to understand how to protect your life, your family, your loved ones. So tune in each week and watch us and understand. Prove these things from your Bible. Watch world events. Powerful things are happening in prophecy, and we're going to be bringing them to you regularly on this program. So we'll see you right here next week at this same time.
This informative booklet is offered to you absolutely free without any cost or obligation. If you call 1-800-934-5579, that's 1-800-934-5579. Or write to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. That phone number again is 1-800-934-5579. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.